was in my own little world back there, daydreaming, thinking about my message, and thinking about Eric as he was passing by. I said, "Here goes the church." And how true that is. That group you seen up here, that's the future Faith Baptist Church. It is good to be here. I know that I was probably invited to preach so y'all could see Leanne, but I hope that I've been a blessing to you anyway. I like to joke about that, that the churches don't call me as pastor. They call me as pastor so they can get Leanne. I knew what I was doing when I married her. But it is good to be here this morning, and if you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we will continue looking here at the longest passage in this chapter. We'll look at it this morning. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Probably the most well-known of the illustrations that Jesus uses here in this parable. And if you've been here for any length of time, you probably have heard me preach from this passage. In fact, Brother Robert Wellington showed me last night that I had preached on a Wednesday night in 2014 from this passage, or this chapter somewhere, and it was most likely this passage. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, Lord. So thankful for your mercy and your grace. Father, I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to preach your word. And Father, I know that I'm not worthy to be your son. But I'm thankful that you love me enough to give me this privilege and this honor. Help me this morning, Lord, as I stand before your people and preach this message that you've laid on my heart, that you've given me for them. Father, I pray that I will do better than I did last night. And Father, I'm thankful that even though I might fail, that it's not dependent upon me, but it's dependent upon you. And I'm thankful that you can still use someone as worthy as me to speak to the hearts of your people. Now, Father, I just pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word today, that you will use it according to your will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last two nights, we've been looking at four illustrations given by Jesus in this one parable. This parable was designed, and the illustrations that Jesus used to teach the same great truth: the value of one sinner that repenteth. Jesus wanted to show this multitude of people that had gathered to hear him speak that every one of God's children are precious to him. Amen. It didn't matter whether they were lost in the wilderness of sin or lost in their own self-righteousness in the house of God. They were precious to him, and he could make them valuable. That's exactly what the first two illustrations that Jesus used in this parable were all about. In the illustration of the lost sheep, we saw one of the sheep that the Father had given to Jesus, his son, lost in the wilderness of sin. But the good shepherd left those 99 sheep that were safe and secure in the Father's hand, and he went to seek after that one sheep which was lost. This illustration, I tell you, was a picture of one of God's elect sheep lost in this world of sin. Then in the illustration of the lost coin, we saw a woman who, upon discovering that one of her coins were missing, going to great lengths to find that one lost coin. It was precious and valuable to her because her father had given it to her when she was married, when she became a bride. Now it was missing. I said that was a great picture of the lost sinner in the house of God. Jesus ended both of those illustrations telling the crowd that there was joy in heaven in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. He was trying to teach them the value of one sinner who repents of their sins and turns to him. Every soul is precious to God, even yours. I look at these young people and it just thrills my heart to see young people loving the Lord. I'm thankful that God saved me when I was a young person. But I also know how easy it is for these young people to get their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and be led astray by the lure of this world. I pray that if you are heading that direction this morning, that you will stop and listen to this message. Because this message is a message that we can all learn something from. It's a mistake that I myself made. And I hate to see anybody else make the same mistake that I made. This illustration speaks of the wayward saint who at one time had walked with Jesus, but for some reason or another, they turned their back to a life of sin from that which they had been saved. Morning, I'm going to preach on the prodigal son. Look at verses 11 and 12, and you'll find a rebellious son. Bible tells us, and he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Right off the bat, Jesus doesn't waste no time. He gets right to the point. Remember, he's speaking to a mixed multitude. He's speaking to people who were lost in their sins and living in the world. He's speaking to people who were religious but lost. He's speaking to people who have been following him for some time but have wandered away and were living back in the far country from which he had drawn them. And he's speaking to some who were saved and still serving him, but in their heart they was in the far country. He gets right to a point. This man had two sons, and the youngest one come to his father and said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." The first sign of a rebellious heart is thinking that someone owes you something. The Lord doesn't owe us a single thing. We don't deserve anything but death. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How dare this young son to come to his father while he's still living and ask for his inheritance? According to the law, that young boy should have been taken to the elders of the city, taken outside the city and stoned to death. That's what he deserved. But his father loved him. And he divided unto him his living. He gave him his inheritance. This son wasn't even entitled to all that his father had because his father had a son that was older than him. And according to the law, that son got a double portion. He got two-thirds while this younger son only got one-third. But it didn't matter to him. He didn't care about his father. In his mind, his father was as good as dead already. And so he wanted what he thought was rightfully his. He didn't care about his father or anyone else for that matter. All he thought about was himself. Did you notice what he said there? Give me. It's all about me. Boy, that attitude is so prevalent in our world today. People think that they're entitled to something. Oh, you owe me. No, we don't owe you anything. And once you start thinking that somebody owes you something, you're on a road headed for the far country. You have a rebellious spirit, a rebellious heart. This young man wanted to live life as he pleased. He was tired of living according to his father's rules. He thought that he knew better than the father. He thought that life would be better out there in the world. Seems like the devil always does that. He makes sin attractive. But he doesn't show you the end results of that sin. He doesn't show you the broken homes, the shattered lives, shattered dreams. He doesn't show you the death. I can only imagine how this son's demands made his father feel. I'm sure it broke his heart. To hear his son ask for his inheritance while the father was still living. This man knew, his father knew exactly what the son would do if he gave him his living. But he gave it to him anyway. And in verses 13 and 6 through 16, we see what happened. We see a riotous life. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his inheritance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You do realize that Jesus is speaking to a primarily Jewish audience. People who had no dealings with swine because they were unclean. I can imagine the gasp in that multitude of people that day when Jesus mentions this prodigal son feeding swine. I can only imagine what they must have thought when he said that this boy was to the point of hunger where he thought about eating the husk that he was feeding the swine. That's exactly where sin takes you. That's exactly what sin will do to you. Now, many days after receiving his portion of the Father's goods, this young son takes off and goes and wastes all those gracious provisions that the Father had provided him by living a wicked, self-indulgent life. Those words, riotous living, that we find there in our text refers to a life that is totally given over to sinfulness and wickedness. People in the world want to talk about living it up and having a good old time. I was one of them. Yeah, I lived it up. I had a good old time. Found myself at rock bottom with nowheres to look but up at my Father. If you're one of God's children and you think you can go wander around in a far country, God has a way of humbling you. When this young man left his house, he left behind all his moral restraints. He went out there to that far country and he lived to satisfy every sinful desire of his flesh. Say, did he have a good time? I'm not going to lie to you this morning. Yes, he did. You say, brother, how can you say that? Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I had a good time for a little while too. You see, there's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that the pleasures of sin are for a season. For a season. I'll just keep emphasizing that. Seasons change. We're in the process of going from winter to spring. So this boy's joy was short-lived. His pleasure in his sin didn't last forever. See, this boy finally realized there in that far country, far away from his father, while he might have had pleasure in sin for a little while, at the end was sad, broken, destroyed, with nothing. You see, when you're giving something that you don't rightly deserve, you tend to waste it. When you didn't have to work for it, do anything for it, you tend to waste it. This boy was given everything that his father had worked for, or a portion of it. He didn't have to do anything for it. It was given to him. And he went out there and he wasted it. He blew it. About the time the money ran out, there was a famine. There was no bread. You know, famines are usually brought on by droughts. There's been no rain. It's dry. This boy's in a desperate place. That far country that had been a land of wine, women, and singing had become a land of weeping, worry, and sorrow. This young man found out a little bit too late that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you far more than you're willing to pay. You can guarantee one thing: when you go out and live your life as you please and live righteously, the righteous life will bring separation. This boy found himself there in that far country, broke, all alone, and miles away from the father who loved him so much. Because of his own actions, he finds him separated, self-separated from the father. And that's exactly what sin does. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The only thing that God will hear from a sinner is a prayer of repentance. A righteous life brings separation. Separates you from a God who loves you. And it brings sorrow. Notice in that passage in verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Righteous life brings sorrow. When this boy had money, he had all kinds of friends. So-called friends. Don't be deceived. Because as soon as the money ran out, so did them so-called friends. They didn't care about that boy. All they cared about was his money. And as soon as that was gone, they didn't care one bit about him. They didn't care that he was in want. They didn't care that he was hungry, broken, and all alone. They could care less. They weren't looking for the next fool. And that's what he was. He was a fool. The fool have said in his heart, "There is no God." This young man had lived his life as if there was no God. And his righteous living have robbed him of everything of value. Found himself in a far country, helpless and hopeless. As I said, the devil will make sin look attractive, but he doesn't show you the end results. Because this is how sin treats all of its victims. The devil will promise you the world, but all he can deliver is hopelessness, desolation, and death. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death." You want to go live that life of sin in the world? All you have to look forward to is death. We say that it pays to live for God, and it does. But it also pays to live for the devil. It really does. It pays way more than what you might imagine. broken lives, shattered marriages, destroyed dreams, damaged trust, health problems, hopelessness, depression, defeat, and death are all the wages of sin. So you see, sin does pay. It pays what you don't want to receive. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Because of his foolish decisions, this young man found himself in a mess and learned some valuable lessons. He learned how good he had it at the Father's house. A righteous life brings shame. I pointed to this in the illustration. This young boy is a Jewish boy, and here he finds himself feeding pigs, swine. For a Jewish man to reach that level in their lives would mean that they'd reached rock bottom. I can only imagine the shame that this boy felt when he realized that he's now reduced to feeding swine. And the fact that he's feeding swine tells me he's working for a Gentile, someone who the Jews considered to be dogs. They despised the Gentiles. And here this Jewish boy is working for a Gentile, because he was in Gentile country. He had left home and found himself in a far country feeding swine. Sin always leads to shame. The shame of a wasted youth, wasted life, and wasted opportunities. I wish that I could have back those years I wasted in the far country. I told you before that my journey to that far country actually began in the house of God. You see, I traveled to the far country in my heart long before I walked out those doors and went to the far country. You feel yourself getting away from God and growing cold to the things of God, I pray that you'll repent before you find yourself where this young man found himself. Because I've been there. I wasted the better part of my latter teen years and all of my 20s in the far country. What a shame it is for a child of the King to live like a pauper. Sadly, there are many people today who live like hell and don't seem to be bothered about it one bit. But I guarantee you there's coming a day when they will be ashamed. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, "And now, little children," by the way, you notice that John there says little children. He's addressing believers. He's addressing children of God. He says, "And now, little children, here's what you need to do. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." If you're not abiding in Christ, if you're wanting to dwell in a far country, you're going to be ashamed when he comes. A righteous life brings suffering. Here we had this young man living in a far country, no home, no help, and no hope. No one cared for his soul. I think of Brother Joe, I've heard you preach a message out of the book of Psalms, I believe it is, where David says he looked on the right hand, looked on the left, and no one cared for his soul. It's a sad place to be. No one cared whether this man lived or died. They didn't care whether he starved to death, because he was starving and no one seemed to care. He was suffering because of the choices that he had made. Sin hasn't changed. It always brings suffering. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, good understanding give a favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Many people will suffer in the world because of the things they have lost to sin. Things like their health, wealth, and family. Those things that were so important to them, they lose because they choose to live a life of sin. This young man's all alone, hungry and broken. Nothing is sadder than a life broken by sin. What a sad shape to be in. But you know what the good thing is? This is the first step to getting home. When this boy began to feel all alone, broken, and defeated, it was then that he came to his senses and realized just how good he had it at home. In fact, he realized that even the servants of his father had it better than he did. No one ever goes off and lives a life of sin and comes back home glad that they had left. Every person that goes off into a life of sin will come back broken, defeated, and humbled. David, Brother William, you was talking about this earlier. Man after God's own heart. Man who was the apple of God's eye. We all know what he did. We know that he defeated the giant Goliath. But what does most people remember about David? Bathsheba. David regretted that, because he realized that it robbed him of his joy. Samson and Delilah. I could go on and on and on. There are plenty of examples in the Word of God of people who thought that they knew better and found out that they didn't. Let's look quickly at verses 17 through 21. Here we see a repentant son. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and said unto him, Father, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This boy didn't come home the same way he left. He left home saying, give me. He returned home saying, make me. He realized just how good he had it. And he didn't care what happened to him when he returned home. His father has showed him grace when he left, and his father showed him grace when he returned home. That boy could have been stoned to death. But his father had compassion on him when he saw him coming. He ran out and hugged him around his neck. He put himself between that boy and anyone that might want to stone him. This boy was willing to be a slave to his father if it meant he could stay at his father's house. He was just tired of that far country and just wanted to go home. I remember when that happened to me. Sadly, it took a jail cell for me to get my eyes back on God. It took getting arrested and put in jail for something I didn't even do. There have been plenty of things I did in the far country that I did time for that I deserved. But when I got arrested for something I didn't do, that God got my attention. I remembered how good I had it. And I went home just like this boy, broken and humbled, willing to be a servant, never dreaming that one day he would call me to preach his word. I just didn't see it. I want you to notice quickly that he was a restored son. Everything that he had squandered in that far country was restored to him when he came home. You notice that the father called for the servants to bring the best robe and put it upon him. The father's robe. When that robe was placed upon that young man and all the filth of his sin, just imagine what he looked like. He'd been feeding swine and living in a pig pen. But when they put the father's robe on him, someone could have easily mistaken him for the father. That robe represented the father's purity. This boy was in the rags of sin, but in the robe of the father, in the purity of the father, he looked like him. Erased all the visible signs of his time in the far country. Then he called for a ring to be placed upon his finger. This ring was a ring that had a signet that represented his father. It spoke of his privileges. It was a symbol of sonship and authority. The one who wore this ring could speak for his father, had access to everything that belonged to the father, was in a position of great privilege. Then he asked that shoes be brought and put upon his feet. That was his position. You see, the slaves didn't have shoes. Only the father's children wore shoes. Those who belonged to the father. In this boy's eyes, he didn't deserve anything. But his father gave him everything that he had wasted and said, "This is my son." Let me remind you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're not a nobody. We like to think of ourselves as just old sinners saved by grace. And the problem with that statement is the word just. God no longer sees us as a slave or a sinner. He sees us as his precious child. Yes, we need to humble ourselves in his presence. But let's not forget that if we're saved by the grace of God, it's the Father who determines our standing in the family and not us. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is don't let the devil get you down and get you to believe this old lie that he's been telling for many years, that you're not worthy to be called a child of God. Because none of us are worthy. But if you're truly saved by the grace of God, then you've been accepted by the Father in heaven. He has called you his child. Sounds to me like we're in a pretty good place of privilege. Lastly, we see rejoicing. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. That father called for the fatted calf. As the calf that had been being fed and groomed and saved for a special occasion. And there was nothing more special to this father than for his prodigal son to return home. If you wandered away from the Father, I want you to know that you can come home. There's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing in the house of God, and there's rejoicing in the restored sinner. Because there's great value in one sinner that repenteth. Brother Joe.